We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. NFL draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Goff looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting in for the touchdown, Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. The snap, he's got it, wants to throw, Wentz looks, pressure comes, Wentz hit, sack, back inside the 20, Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 346 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Mr. Michael Mark. Here, boys, how are we feeling today?
I'm feeling great. We're like about a month away from the draft. Weather's nice out. I see Malcolm is like chilling in Florida right now. Malcolm, what's up, bro?
Woo! What is going on, man? Yo, draft coming up soon, man. Like you said, man, I'm chilling, man. I'm just enjoying this offseason, man. Just vibing and chilling, man. Seeing how things go. I can't wait to the draft starts, man.
I'm not gonna lie. My vibes are a little low right now. Just watched a heartbreaking Detroit Red Wings game for my people that keep up with the Wings. It was the Capitals game, and it just felt like the season was over after that game, after losing in overtime, and it stinks, man, right now. I'm not going to lie.
I forgot about that. You just reminded me. Thank you.
So, wait, you guys lost was it in overtime, or was that a shootout?
It was an overtime.
Man, fuck. Overtime? Shit.
Overtime.
Yeah. I am not doing well, because Tyler just reminded me of that.
Well.
Sorry, man. You guys are – how many games are left?
10.
10? Man, you guys got this, man. Don't worry about it.
Have you watched them over the last – I want to talk about the Red Wings right now. We'll do –
They could get hot. They could get hot, man. That's a streaky team.
They are a streaky team, but like in good and bad ways. Good and bad ways.
Yeah.
They could go bad, but hey, I mean, maybe go through a streak and then you guys can go to the playoffs.
Malcolm, so. You had J.R. Smith on your basketball team.
Yeah.
When he's on. But when he's off, he's way off.
Yeah, he's off. He does crazy shit.
That's I think that's a good analogy for the writing. Would you agree, Tyler?
Yeah, I actually kind of like that one. That one's not bad. J.R. Smith is that's so bad, dude. I'm comparing my hockey to J.R. Smith right now. Are you shitting me?
Man, he's a baller. Man. He's a certified baller.
In game one in 2018, yeah.
When he's in conscious of what's going on and knows everything, he's a baller.
Just whatever. Okay, well.
Tyler liked it, but then he remembered J.R. Smith, the player's like, fuck.
Yeah.
All right, let's
the comparison's good though. I'll give you that. It was a good comparison. But
when Jared was on the Knicks, man, I loved him, man. He was a baller. He's come off the bench and just jack up threes.
Yeah. All right. Well, in today's episode, we're not going to talk about the Red Wings. We're not going to talk about J.R. Smith more, but we're going to talk about the NFC North, not regarding the Detroit Lions, but our competition and what our competition did this offseason to revamp and try to take down the defending champs, the Detroit Lions, in the 2024 season. So in today's episode, we're all going to cover each of one team. So I have the Packers. Malcolm has the Bears, his favorite team. And Vikings. So we're all going to mention and bring up all their big moves that they made this offseason and if we liked it, if we didn't like it, and how it stacks up going forward going to draft season and just going into the 2024 season. So with that being said, let's start off with Pierre, because I think this is the shittiest team in the division now. The Minnesota Vikings. What do the Minnesota Vikings do this offseason?
School.
I'm going to start with the biggest move is not we stop that. I just wanted to go to Minnesota one time, and I was like beating up, and the game just start the skull chant and clapping everyone's face with skull. With like a group of Lions fans. That would be like so fun. But anyways, back to this. I think their biggest move was not re-signing Kirk Cousins, letting Kirk Cousins walk. I know he's coming off an Achilles, but right now their quarterback is Sam Darnold, who they signed, I think it was a one-year, $10 million deal. We'll see how that works out for them. But they also made another big move. They traded up from pick 42 to 23. So now they have 11 and 23. And a lot of people believe they're going to trade up to get a quarterback, whether it's J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. We'll see. But one of those guys will probably be a Viking that I just mentioned. My favorite move they actually made was signing, where is it on my notes? Jonathan Greenard from the Houston Texans. He reminds me of Danielle Hunter, but a younger version of Danielle Hunter. You know, he's not 29, he's 26. Danielle Hunter has dealt with injuries. This guy was healthy last year. Another move I liked for them is they signed Andrew Van Ginkle. Tyler, that was our guy. We actually talked about him. He actually fits that scheme perfectly. Played with Flores in Miami, comes to Minnesota, knows the scheme. And a sneaky move they had was adding Blake Cashman. He had a really good year last year for the Texans. They added him as well. Overall, I think they overhauled their defense. I think Brian Flores was the happiest man during free agency. But that offense still has questions. I know Kevin O'Connell is a genius, but do you trust Sam Darnold to come in and play right away? And could a rookie quarterback pick up Kevin O'Connell's scheme? Kyle Rudolph mentioned in a podcast the other day that a KOC scheme is not easy for a rookie to come in and just pick up right away. So those will be things to watch. But yeah, I think that's the vibe. Oh, Aaron Jones, you know, goes from the Packers. It feels like there's like a musical chairs going around, running backs around the NFC North. We'll get into that when you guys talk about the moves your team's made. Not your teams, but the teams you guys are
representing.
Don't say that no more.
My bad. Man, Aaron Jones is a really good back. I think he fits that scheme perfectly. I think it's better than what they had last year with Alexander Mattison. Who else they have?
Ty Chandler.
Yeah, I think it's an easy upgrade right there. And they'll probably add someone via the draft. But I don't know what Minnesota's doing, Tyler.
Like, yeah, this is just a very like meh of offseason if I've ever seen. Like, yeah, you added some solid pieces, like bringing in Jonathan Greenard, who I like a lot, and even Van Ginkle, who I like a lot. But you lost Kirk Cousins, your starting quarterback, I think the glue of your football team. And you lost the glue of your defense in Danielle Hunter. And I understand he's a little older. And I understand you're saying that Greenard is like a younger version of him. But, like, he's not there yet. He is not Danielle Hunter. And he's never been the guy before. Like, I like Jonathan Greenard. But I don't know if I like Jonathan Greenard being the guy, like the number one guy. Like, I think he benefits having support from the other side. Like, last year, he had his breakout season with Will Anderson on the other side. In Minnesota, they brought in Van Ginkle, but, like, that's not, like, a big enough move to, like, you know, get enough attention off Jonathan Greenard. Like, he is the guy right now in Minnesota, and he has a lot to prove to be that number one guy without not the greatest supporting cast. So we'll see how that works. And then going from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold, I mean, my goodness. I mean, that is a downgrade. It's just I don't even mind Sam Darnold. I think he's, like, okay. But, like, a backup quarterback going into a starting spot now. And Kirk Cousins is, like, Mr. Solid, right? Like, I call him the most average quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, maybe he's even a little better than that, right? He's maybe a little above average. But I don't know, man. Like, they did not improve to me this offseason. They've been in a weird situation for many years. I think that window has kind of sunk many years ago, and they're kind of trying to hold on to what they have. But it's just getting worse and worse for this team. I think for Minnesota Vikings, O'Connell's fine. But, like, this is a roster I think you just got to kind of blow up and start it from the start, like, from the beginning, man. Like, this is, like, I don't know where they are. Like, you're not good to win a division, but you're not necessarily bad enough to be – like a top three, top five pick. Like, you're in just in a weird phase right now if you're the Minnesota Vikings. And this offseason did literally nothing for me to be supportive of, like, to say they're going to get better as a team. If anything, I think they got worse as a team than they got better this offseason.
Yeah, I will say this, though. Sam Darnold's probably their bridge. They're drafting someone. Maybe that someone starts later in the year or he sits. I don't – or maybe starts from the get-go. We don't know, but I think it depends on this pick, this quarterback that they're going to draft. If they hit, they'll be okay. If they miss, they're kind of fucked.
Tyler, I think – they're doing exactly what you're saying they're doing. I think they did blow it up. The moment they let Kirk Cousins go, I mean, I don't see this team thinking that they can compete this year. I think this is more like a, all right, Kirk Cousins gone. Let's see if we could bring in, you know, a rookie quarterback and groom him in and eventually get him to starting. Sam Darnold definitely is not the future.
No.
Definitely not. No, he's absolutely their bridge to the rookie they're about to draft. Now, what I'm thinking is, like, where they're going to draft their quarterback, because they have the ammo to move up, but a lot of those teams in the top three actually really need a quarterback. So I really doubt it if they trade their picks. I heard a team that might be willing to trade a pick is Arizona. And if they trade with Arizona, they may be looking at maybe the fourth quarterback on the board, and that could be J.J. McCarthy. So that'll be interesting if he goes there and then they could groom him in. Yeah, I see exactly the way you see it, man. This year is going to be really rough for them. If I was a fan, I don't know what to be like, if I would be excited or just scared, because yeah, you could kind of be excited because you know you're about to draft a rookie quarterback, and you know how that is when you draft a rookie quarterback, you don't know exactly how they're going to work out, and then you're just hoping that they could break out and be that player. So that's the little exciting part, I guess, as far as being a fan. But yeah, as far as they lost a lot of talent, as you know, losing Hunter, and I don't see them upgrading. I don't see that being an upgrade as far as what they did. So I mean, I don't know, man. I wonder how, what's it called, Justin Jefferson. I wonder how he's feeling.
I was just gonna get to that. Like, it's tough to rebuild a Justin Jefferson on your football team. Like, that's a guy that, like, needs to be on a good football team, or like is gonna demand to be on a good football team very soon. So I don't know how long you have to, like, rebuild with this whole process.
Exactly. I could see him asking out soon. I mean, if they're just like rebuilding and it goes slow and they're not winning, I could see him definitely asking out.
Right. I'll say this, though. I think a rookie quarterback situation with that offense, they have a good O-line. You know, you got Hawk, you got Addison, you got Jefferson, you got Aaron Jones, you got KOC. I think it's a really good situation for a rookie quarterback to walk into, but how ready is he going to be? Sam Darnold's a solid vet. I think he can handle that. I think he's better than Nick Mullins, what they had towards the end of the last year, and they were okay with him.
I agree with that.
So I think they'll be okay. Like, I don't think they'll be trash. I don't think they'll be amazing. I think they'll kind of be average, above average kind of team.
So another 7-6-1 season for the Minnesota Vikings. Got it.
I don't even see that.
That's probably where I got him right now, early. Like, it's only March right now. That's probably where I got him, though. Probably, like, 6-7 wins right now, honestly. It's a tough division, man. I mean, like, they have to play against the Lions twice a year. You have to play against an up-and-coming Bears team twice, and the Packers are a good team as well. You're going to have to play them twice a year. So, I mean, that's six hard games just right there off your division. And obviously, division games could go either way because, you know, they're in division. You see them, and you know them inside out. But, like, it's going to be tough for Minnesota. I really believe it's going to be really tough here for them. And, like, I don't know. I guess I see your point a little bit more, saying, like, that is kind of what they're doing by letting Kirk go walk is, you know, they're kind of retooling-ish right now. But I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel like they're, like, fully teared it down yet. I feel like the full teardown is, like, when you get rid of Justin Jefferson. And, like, that's when you start from the beginning. But that's tough. I understand.
I don't think you get rid of Justin Jefferson.
You don't want to get rid of Justin
Jefferson. Didn't they just re-sign him?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay. So, yeah, he's movable then.
They're saying he's going to get over $30 million a year. So, I don't think they wanted – why would you trade him when you're going to have a rookie quarterback? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, it's not even – the Vikings, I understand, would want to keep him. I'm saying from his perspective, why would you want to stay there?
Why would he want to stay there?
I mean, we'll see. I guess we'll see how this year goes. We'll see if they sign him in the offseason, this offseason. If they don't – then I think next year we could start, you know, it'll be his fifth year option, I think, he'll be playing under if they don't sign him this offseason, right? Like the following year. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a weird team, dude. Like, they're such in a weird spot right now. It's like where they're not good and they're not bad. And that is literally the worst, I think, phase in the NFL. Like, I take the 2021 Lions and be the Minnesota Vikings right now. I truthfully believe that.
I mean, they beat them before. I mean, they beat them
Take out the beating. I'm just saying, like, I'd rather be in that position than where they are right now. Like, I'd rather start it from complete scratch than be in this weird phase that you are right now where you have some good players, but you're not good enough to compete. Like, that sucks, man.
Let me ask, do you disagree with their moves as far as, like, Kirk Cousins? Would you have kept Kirk Cousins?
I don't know what they do. I would just fully, like, commit to something, man. Like, what are they doing? Are they trying to, like, win? Are they trying to lose? Like, I don't know what they're doing. And they've been in this phase for, like, a couple of years now. It's not been just this offseason. They've been in this weird phase for years where they're trying to hold. They had a good team for a lot of years, and they had an opportunity, and they didn't win. I think that's where you strip it down. Like, they're just in the end of it now.
But where are they right now? Because, right, what they have, what, two?
They're in the middle of the pack, Malcolm. They're kind of like how Lions were with Stafford.
I'm talking about, like, as far as, like, where they are as far as what they're doing. Because right now, like, how many first-round draft picks they have right now?
They have two.
So
11 and 23.
11 and 23. Those are good draft picks to have. I mean, you can use
it to move up. They're using that to move up.
Yeah, they're using that to move up. But exactly, you're gonna get your rookie quarterback, and then you can call it a day.
So we'll see. I mean, it all depends on this quarterback they take. If they hit on it, it's great. If they don't, they probably lose their jobs.
If it's somebody other than JJ McCarthy, I'm gonna be shocked.
We'll see.
Because I think he's a fourth quarterback, like, on the board, and I think that's the best they could get is four, because New England ain't trading the pick.
No, but, like, it just depends on who New England values. And, I mean, it looks like Chicago's going to take Caleb Williams. But, like, other than that, like, we don't know
what
we don't know what Washington's going to do either, too.
I think they're going to take Drake May.
Tom Pelissero reported, a day or two ago, that executives around the league believe Washington's going to take J.J. McCarthy. So we'll see. I mean, no one knows.
There's a bunch of smoke right now, obviously.
But it's a lot of smoke.
But, yeah, I mean, they're going to end up with a quarterback somehow. Who it's going to be, we'll have to wait a month to see who that's going to be. But I don't know. As a Vikings fan, I would absolutely hate to be in this position that you're in right now. I'd be pissed right now because it sucks being in this position. It's like where you're not good and you're not bad. That's where the Lions were. It was like the Lions with the Stafford. It's like you had so many years where, like, you were, like, just, like, hovering around 9-7, you know, 8-8. Maybe you get a 10-win season and maybe you sneak into a wild card, but you know you're not going to do anything. That's what the Vikings are right now. And they might be even worse than in that position the Lions were a couple years ago.
Like, so? I said, it all depends on that quarterback, bro. I don't want to say that. I think it all depends on that quarterback they take and what he does for them.
Yeah.
Because, bro, if they hit on that, they look like geniuses, right? If they miss, they look like idiots. But again, I just don't think it's a good idea, though, to kind of the way the Kirk stuff was handled, the way the Danielle Hunter stuff. I mean, you're replacing them with younger talent, but are they as good as those guys? Like, we'll see.
I don't, like, view the Vikings a quarterback away. That's not how I look at them. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely off here, but I just don't view the Vikings, even if they hit on this rookie quarterback, I still don't think they're going to. It depends how good the quarterback is, but
I mean, I don't know how much can he do. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a weird case because, like, if you look at Kirk Cousins at the end of the year and you look at his number, you're like, wow, this guy looks phenomenal. Yeah. Look at his numbers. His quarterback's numbers is almost elite numbers as far as what it is. But then you look at a record like 8-8. What went wrong here? 7-9. What the hell? You know, or 8-9. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't think a good quarter, like, even if he plays well, I think that team has so many holes. Everywhere else, defense, offense, you know, I just don't see them. They're definitely not quarterback away. I agree with Tyler. They're definitely not quarterback away.
Yeah, no, they're not quarterback away. But, you know, you get that quarterback, though, and you hit on it on a rookie deal. You could do a lot of stuff. It helps. So
definitely helps. I agree with that. But this is a team I'm not worried about. I think the other two teams, we'll get into them now. The Vikings – just very meh. If you had to grade it, before we get into the Packers and the Bears, what would you grade this Vikings offseason?
I'm not going to grade it yet because it's not over yet. I got to see.
Okay, the free agency. What do you grade free agency?
Again, like, I don't like grading stuff like that.
C-. All right, I'll give you your grade for you.
Okay, I mean, I don't like to grade offseason because I don't think it's fair.
Malcolm, what's your grade?
What he did from free agency standpoint?
Just free agency, yeah.
You lose Kirk Cousins, you go to Sam Darnold. Shit. You have to say C minus or B plus, a D plus, man. I mean, it's not good. I mean, for what they did, I mean, it seems like a downgrade everywhere across the board. I mean, the only thing I can see you could probably say is an upgrade is Aaron Jones, but how many games has Aaron Jones played in the past 2 years?
Yeah, that hamstring's been bugging him for last year a lot. It was in and out.
Okay, if you actually need a grade, I actually don't think it's as bad. I give him like a C plus.
No, there you go. Now you got a grade.
Well, you want to give me a grade. I don't really like grading stuff like that, but I'll give it a C plus, I guess, if we just go. I mean, I like the moves they made, but I don't get their team building philosophy where like they trade for a guy like Hawk, they pay him, and then they get rid of other guys. And it's just kind of like, how do I say? I don't know how to say it, bro. I don't get what they're doing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Philosophy. You're right.
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. You're going to have Hawk, one of the highest paid. You're going to have JJ, one of the highest paid. Christian Darrisaw, one of the highest paid. Like, I just don't get what they are doing. Again, when you have a rookie quarterback, though, coming in, it's going to help paying these other guys. But I just don't. I don't know.
It has to work out.
It has to work out, yeah.
And like you have to trade draft ammunition too to get this quarterback too, so like that could affect the future. And maybe it might take more than what they're just giving this year's draft. You know what I'm saying?
They're trying to move it to the top five. I don't think those two first round picks is going to be enough. They're going to need to trade more picks.
Last year they tried to trade up for Anthony Richardson. The Colts said no because the Colts loved the guy. Yeah. So they've been trying to get a quarterback. They loved AR last year. So we'll see what happens this year.
But do you think their two first round picks are going to be enough though to move up, or do you know?
I mean, it depends. You may have to add like a day three pick with it, but I think you should be fine for the most part. Yeah,
yeah. But like that's taking out a big of your drafting needs too, like of getting players in and getting young players in. But whatever, forget the Vikings. They are just so weird to me. I don't know what they're doing, honestly. So that's the Minnesota Vikings.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Let's get into, what do you want to do? You want to do the Green Bay Packers? We'll end off with the Bears. Let's do that.
Let's do the Green Bay Packers, man.
Green Bay Packers are pretty short and simple. They didn't do anything too significant. We talked about Aaron Jones. He gets cut, and he goes to the Minnesota Vikings, and they replace him with Josh Jacobs, and then they bring in Xavier McKinney, a big safety addition. Hey, I'll say it like this. The Packers were good last year. They got into a groove at the end of the year, made the playoffs, won a playoff game where they killed the Dallas Cowboys. gave the 49ers a run for their money in Santa Clara and almost played the Lions in the NFC North or in the NFC Championship, I should say. And this is a team that didn't need to make too many moves, but I think the draft's going to be really big for them to see how they really polish this team. But I think so far what the Packers have done so far, very solid. I think they upgraded running back with Josh Jacobs, and I think they got a huge addition adding Xavier McKinney to that defense and that safety room. So overall, man, I think the Packers are doing things right this offseason. They're young. They're frisky. That's a team to be scared of right now. I think they're a good team. I think they've made smart moves.
I honestly, man, I think they're probably going to be the biggest threat to the Lions next season. They're a team that if you had to take one guy and say who's going to have the biggest leap from last year to this year, if I had to take a guess right now and put money on a guy, I'm going to say it's Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is going to take a massive leap from last year to this year. And he may be in that conversation as far as a top 10 quarterback, maybe even top 5 quarterback. I just think that he's one of those guys that could just throw in weird angles off his back foot, and he could just launch the balls at different points. And it's scary. It's scary. I just want to see exactly how high he as far as like his talent goes. But he's a very talented quarterback, and I can see him taking the biggest leap, man.
Yeah, and I think adding Josh Jacobs for him is absolutely big. And Aaron Jones was a good player, don't get me wrong. The hamstrings issue was a big deal for him last year. And I don't know, man. I just look at Josh Jacobs as like that 1A back. And Aaron Jones could be a number one back. Like, don't get me wrong there. But like the way I look at Aaron Jones, I was kind of telling these guys before we started the show, is like he needs a guy with him, like kind of like Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's a good back, but he needs a David Montgomery with him. I think that takes his game to a whole new level. And I look at that with Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs doesn't need anyone behind him, in my opinion. He's a guy who can get the ball 20, 25 times, maybe even 30 times if you really need him. Like, he's that type of back. Like, if he's healthy, like, he is really, really scary. And he'll take a lot of pressure off Jordan Love, and he'll open up this offense, man. He's scary out there, man. I think it's definitely an upgrade from what they had before, adding Josh Jacobs. Now, they invested a lot of money into it, and that could be a little suspect. But, hey, people question the Lions, what they were doing at running back last year. I don't think anybody's questioning it now. I think the Lions and San Francisco 49ers changed the philosophy of running backs going forward with how successful the Niners are with Christian McCaffrey and how Lions were successful with Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery. I think running back is coming more of a need for teams, and you've seen it this offseason where they've been a lot more aggressive, and the Packers look like they're trying to follow in those footsteps of those two teams I just mentioned, the Lions and the Niners, and they add Josh Jacobs, who I believe is an upgrade over Aaron Jones. So I think the Packers are doing it right now. I think they are. What about you up here?
I like what they did. So they added Josh Jacobs. I think they were slightly overpaid, but he's a good player. Xavier McKinney, I love that sign. I actually kind of wanted the Lions to go after him just because he's a good young player. You know, he's a really smart player. I think he was a team captain as well. So I think overall it's solid. You know, they didn't really lose they lost obviously Bakhtiari, but they released him. He was getting old and injured.
Yeah.
They didn't really lose like anyone significant. I feel like they did get better as a football team. But again, those are just two guys. Like, it's not like they added, like, they're two star guys. But I remember Brad Holmes saying, you know, we don't want to add like two guys. Our roster looks good in March or April or whatever. We want to add guys where like the roster looks good in October, November. I don't know if they necessarily improved their depth, but I know they added two really good players.
Well, I think the way I look at it, and it's kind of like Brad's philosophy a little bit, it's like we're not going to be spending stupid money in free agency. I think they just made smart, responsible moves, and maybe people look at it as an overpay. That is what it is, right? But like as far as the players and additions that they got into their team, they're upgrades, man. You got a huge upgrade at the safety position, and I think you got a big upgrade at the running back position. So not spending stupid money, being responsible, and I think they're going to try to get some more players through the draft. Like, they're already a good team. They didn't have to do anything too crazy. So I look at what they did was responsible this offseason. I really do. I think they made some smart moves.
Yeah. They added two really good players. So,
I mean, if you ask me, I mean, they're a team that kind of knows what they're missing. They're a game away from the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones is a really good back. And I mean, they still decided that they needed to upgrade that position. So, I mean, I don't really look at it as far as like overpay. If they really feel like that's a big need, if they really needed to upgrade that position, And that would help out Jordan Love's game. Then, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to win. I mean, maybe long term, maybe not the best move. But if they win because of it, who's complaining about $12 million?
This is exactly how I look at it right now. Everyone was not everyone, but a lot of people were like weird and like suspect of what the Lions did when they got rid of Jamal Williams and Swift, who were good backs, right? Like they were good backs. Then they went with David Montgomery and then they drafted Gibbs at 12. Everyone's like, what the hell are the Lions doing? But then they go on a run. They definitely improve at running back than what they had in 2022. I could see this working out very similarly with the Green Bay Packers with getting rid of Aaron Jones and adding Josh Jacobs. I could see like that type of impact happening for them.
We'll see.
We will see. You know, it's a wait and see. But I don't know. Overall, if I had to give this a grade, I'd probably go B+, A-ish. I want to see what they do in the draft, but free agency, good start for the Packers, I'd say.
I'd give it a B.
B, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. I'll give this a B, like a B. B- around there.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, like they didn't do anything too crazy. I think I think those are fair grades. So okay, That's the Green Bay Packers, definitely a team to worry about. A team that was definitely the most active in our division is the team that Malcolm is going to be representing, and that is the Chicago Bears. So, floor is yours, buddy.
Yeah, man. We're talking about a team that wanted to make moves and wanted to upgrade their roster and wanted to make a team that could compete. The Bears did a pretty good job, if you ask me, man. They brought in DeAndre Swift from the Eagles, and we all seen DeAndre Swift, and once he's healthy, he could. He's probably one of the best backs in the league once he's healthy. He does have durability issues, so we will see how many games he can play this year. They brought in Gerald Everett, the tight end, to be tight end too. So that's huge. I think this team already has weapons. They have Cole Kmet, and now you add in Gerald Everett. That's huge as well for whoever is going to be quarterbacking. They let go of Darryl Mooney. They sent him to Atlanta. And they brought in Keenan Allen. They traded for him for a fourth-round pick. I think that's huge. Because now you're pairing on Keenan Allen with DJ Moore. And those are two guys that could get 100 catches or 1,000 yards. Those are really good. Those are two number one receivers, if you ask me. So I think those moves are huge. I think the biggest one that is a head-scratcher for a lot of people is the Justin Fields trade. I think Justin Fields – I see where they're going with this as far as – they knew they were going to drop the quarterback and they wanted to let Justin Fields go somewhere else where he wanted to go. So they sent him to Pittsburgh for a sixth-round pick. I think that's the most they were getting for him anyway, as far as like the value that they were seeing from Justin Fields was a sixth-round pick. So, I mean, the value, is it good? Because, you traded him, you drafted him 12 overall. What, 12 overall they drafted him? Or was it 11th or 12th or 10th?
Yeah, it was somewhere around that range. I think it was
12, somewhere around 11, there. Yeah. Somewhere around there. But you drafted him first round. And you flip it for a sixth round pick, that sucks. As a fan, just knowing that you drafted him top 10 or top 15, and then you flip it for a sixth round pick, it sucks. But they're going a different direction. This is a team that, as far as quarterback play, hasn't been good. I mean, did you guys know that the Bears never had a 4,000 yard quarterback? Like that is,
I think their leader is Jay Cutler, right?
It never had 4,000 yard quarterback, which is crazy. That's an insane stat. Like that's almost impossible, if you ask me, to go these many years and never have a quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards. This is an insane stat. And Justin Fields didn't even get close his 3 years of being here. So I see that they wanted to go a different direction. They want to get a guy that can possibly be, has a chance to be an elite quarterback. And they're pairing him up with Shane Waldron, the OC from Seattle, who worked with Geno Smith. I think this is huge because, Shane Waldron took Geno Smith, who was his NFL career was on life support. And he took him in and actually made him into a capable NFL starter. So you bring in Shane Waldron in and you're going to mix him with a quarterback, wherever they draft. I think we all know who they're going to draft, Caleb Williams. But you mix him with Caleb Williams with the weapons they have now, I think it's huge. I think like as far as like the chance of him not working out with everything that's around him, like when you ask for a perfect situation, I think Caleb Williams is coming to as far as as perfect situation as it can be, as far as weapon wise. And they also have another first round pick, so they decide to go best offensive lineman on the board, best wide receiver on the board, and get wide receiver 3 with that pick, the team game is scarier. So, I mean, I hate to say this because I hate the Bears so much, but I love what they did. I really, as far as like a love standpoint, I love what they did. Everybody knows how I feel about Justin Fields. I didn't think he was going to get it done. I looked at him as more of a running back than a quarterback. But I think the guy they bring in as far as a quarterback with the weapons they have here and what they're also going to be able to add in with the draft picks they're going to have, they're building the right way. I like what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree. I mean, they did, I think, the smart moves. Like, they're, like you said, they're giving their rookie quarterback a best shot to have success right away. And we're talking about the Minnesota Vikings. Like, maybe that could work. They have some pieces. Like, this team, I think, legitimately has good pieces around. Like, you have a proven veteran with DJ Moore, a really proven veteran with Keenan Allen. You bring a good back with DeAndre Swift, who injuries has been a big issue. So, him being the number one is a bit of a concern. But you still have Khalil Herbert, who's solid. So, like, maybe you could do a little rotation where you're not relying all on DeAndre Swift. But overall, man, like, I think they made smart moves. They had a good ending last year to their season. Like, once they acquired Montez Sweat, they took another level to their team. Like, their defense took a next step, and they were getting pressure on the quarterbacks. They were getting more sacks. So, defensively, like, you know, they're already pretty much very close to being there. And then offensively, they did a good job revamping it, you know, getting Keenan Allen this offseason, going to get an upgrade at quarterback. Like, they have an opportunity to be pretty good, man. It's a good division, so it's going to be tough to pass the Packers and the Lions because those teams are already in the playoffs, so it's tough to pass that. But, you know, they have an opportunity here, man, to be pretty good. And, you know, their team I could see potentially sneaking into the playoffs. It wouldn't shock me.
Sucks to say this. Sucks to say that, man.
So I had three issues with the Bears. Paying Swift $8 million a year and guaranteeing like almost $16 million was kind of stupid. That's dumb. They paid Kevin Byard after having like a really bad year with Philly after they traded for him. They paid Kevin Byard like solid money, and I think that was a big mistake as well. And then acquiring Keenan Allen, who's 31 years old, I think he's good for you maybe in 1 or 2 years, but after that, he's pretty much done. You traded a fourth round pick for that. So I do like Keenan Allen the player, but I don't know if they're in the window right now for Keenan Allen to win. Like, he's 31 years old and wide receivers fall off a cliff after they get in their 30s. So that's more like a win now move. I feel like that would have been, but hey, that's the Bears. I don't really care what they do. I did like how they were aggressive in pursuing the guys they wanted though. Ryan Poles is an aggressive GM. So we'll see how that works out, but the Bears don't scare me. I'm not even a fan of Caleb Williams. I think I've mentioned this on the show and to you guys. So I want to take Caleb. So let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as like getting him to build his confidence up, they did a great job as far as that standpoint. You know, they put everything around him. I don't see a situation that's better than this because you look at teams that usually draft number one overall picks, or they had the first overall pick. They're usually really bad teams, and they're a team that usually just a mess, just not good. You know, they had the worst record last year. Usually there's culture issues, new coach, you know, new everything is new. It's like usually not good, but they're coming in. This is not the team that was the worst team, and they're just building off what they did, and now they're pretty much stacking up an offense for your number one overall pick, your number one overall quarterback. I don't see Keenan Allen as a long-term answer for them. I think it's more of let's get Caleb Williams confidence right and have it right for him, and then you know Keenan could possibly pass the torch to the next guy. Like I said, they have two first round picks, two top 10 picks. Who are we not to say that they draft a wide receiver?
That's fine.
You know, to pass that torch to once Keenan does retire. So I'm just saying they're a stacked team. They're a team that they did everything the right way as far as you're not going to have a rookie quarterback. Let's not put him in a bad situation. They got a good OC, and they put him with two number one receivers. So, I mean, I don't see a better situation than this.
I actually like the Viking situation better for a rookie quarterback, but I do agree it's a good situation for a rookie quarterback.
How?
You have Justin Jefferson. You got TJ Hockenson. You got Kevin O'Connell. It's a proven play caller. You got a better O-line. You got the best receiver in football, top five tight end.
Shane Waldron's not a proven play caller? I mean, he took Geno Smith's game.
O'Connell, Kevin O'Connell, though, fucking had Nick Mullins throwing 400 yards.
And four interceptions.
What did Shane want to do with Geno?
Yeah, Josh Dobbs coming from the street and playing some solid ball. If you know, like, it's pretty impressive what KOC did.
I get that. But they have two tight ends that are solid. Cole Kmet and Everett. And they have two number one receivers, man. I mean,
I think the Viking situation is better personally, but.
You're wild, man.
No, because the O-line is better.
Well, you got to look at the whole team as well, getting stops off the field and not always having to coming back. Like, the Bears have a good defense, too, and they have some confidence. Like, they ended the season off well, like kind of like the Lions did in 22. And, like, you know, they're bringing back most of the band and just getting some upgrades. Like, obviously, they're getting a new quarterback, which is different. But, like, they're a confident group right now. Like, they're a team that ended the season hot. I think they're pretty confident.
Yeah, so. Man. I mean, trust me. If anybody wants the Bears to suck, it is me. I do not. I mean, it's gonna sicken me to see this fan base cheer and be happy that they're, you know, having some success. It sickens me. It's equivalent to Stephen A. Smith seeing the Dallas Cowboys have success. I think that's what this looks like. It sickens me. So I mean, I wish that it doesn't work out. I just don't see it not working out because everything is set up perfectly for your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it
is a good situation for sure. Like, it's obviously,
amazing situation.
What Fields walked into versus what Caleb Williams walked into is like night and day, right?
Night and day, 100%.
Night and day, 100%, man.
So we'll
see. The play caller. I mean, he took Geno Smith, who NFL career was on absolute life support. They turned him to a Pro Bowl quarterback. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just really don't see this. The only way I can see this not working out is if Caleb Williams had the work ethic of Johnny Manziel. That's the only way I can see it's not working out. It's not going to be a confidence issue because I think the team is around him. I think everything's around him. He has everything.
I'll say this about Fields, too. I don't think the team could have kept Fields and drafted one because the locker room would have been split because a lot of guys ride for Fields in that locker room. And then if we're getting a new guy, I don't think it would have been good for the locker room to keep Fields in a number one pick. I think they had to trade Fields or they were going to go quarterback.
If they're going to go quarterback. Yeah, because they could have arguably – well, I understand why they're going the quarterback route, but they could have arguably, like, taken, like, Marvin Harrison at pick one or maybe traded back with one of these teams and get Marvin Harrison then at number nine, get, like, an offensive lineman hypothetically, and then ride it with Fields because I think – like, I said this in our mailbag. Like, I think you could win with Justin Fields. I really believe that. And, like – You could have went either way. Like, you could have.
You think you could win with Fields?
I do.
He does. I don't know about that, bro.
The guy cannot read a defense. He just runs for his life when nothing's there. I don't know.
I think if you
put he's a one read pony.
I think if you put him in a good situation, I think he could win. Even Dan Campbell himself said it. He goes, "I'm glad Justin Fields is out of this division."
Yeah, because his feet always killed us. He had like 200 rushing yards against us all the time.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, he's a threat. Like, he has abilities to be a good quarterback. I mean, like, I look at him very similar to like what Jalen Hurts could do. Like, I think he could have the same type of career. Jalen Hurts if he's in the right situation.
You know what's the happiest man when Justin Fields was traded? Fucking Aaron Glenn.
100%. I mean, they could not figure him out. That was one guy. I mean, he's not, like I'm saying, I'm not.
They just can't figure out. They can't figure out any mobile quarterbacks. I think that's
but especially a lot him,
of defenses
man.
Have trouble with that too. Not just the Lions defense. A lot of defense around the league because when you have a mobile quarterback, I mean, they're just so hard to defend, bro.
It's not even just mobile quarterback. It's just quarterbacks that are just really, really athletic and fast.
Yeah. Like,
but I just don't see that being a winning formula. It's going to win you games against bad defenses, just like we saw last year. But throwing for 120 yards in a game is not going to cut it. Yeah, I just don't see that happening.
But, like, you're saying with this offense, you don't think he would have improved? Like, if you added Keenan Allen, adding, you know, a potentially Marvin Harrison or something like that, or, you know, getting another offensive lineman. Come on, man. Like what else could – like, you have everything around you. Like, I don't see him failing.
Tyler, if they had faith that he'd improve, they would have kept him, bro.
Yeah, I understand. You're going for an upgrade.
It's a reading issue as far as, like, him progressing and going from wide receiver one, wide receiver two. All right, he's not open. Wide receiver three, he's not open. Wide receiver – that's his issue. Going down the reads, going down, you know, he can't do that.
I agree. I don't think he'll ever be elite. I don't think he'll ever be like a top 10 quarterback or even a top 5 quarterback, but I think he's good enough to win in this league if you surround him in the right
pieces. We'll see. I mean, we'll see.
I don't think we'll see it though, because I don't think Pittsburgh is in that situation for him to prove it either.
I think what's happening is Pittsburgh is going to sit behind Russell Wilson. The next year, they'll bring in a guy and they'll compete for that spot. Whoever wins it gets it.
I mean, I could care less about Justin Fields. Like, I'm just saying, I think he could succeed. I don't really care if he does or doesn't. Like, it doesn't affect my day or like whether he does or doesn't, but like it would have shocked me at all if they did keep him, use those two picks to help him even more. Like I could see them being a playoff team with Justin Fields, but hey, they go with Caleb Williams. I think that's still a good route too.
You know what? A lot of Bears fans feel that way too, man. They were pissed. Oh, they're about to riot. They're about to do a whole riot to show the field. They're bad. They're upset about that move. He was fun. I mean, he's a fun quarterback. You know, when you have a quarterback that can run like that, it's fun. But I just think Bears fans don't know what a good quarterback is. So they're upset.
I'll tell you what with Caleb Williams, too, is he holds on to the ball really long, what Justin Fields did, and he let college football and fumble. So they're going to have fun with him, too. They're going to have a lot of fun with Caleb Williams.
I think what Caleb Williams' talent is something you can't teach.
You can't all teach that, that all but all the stuff mental that, stuff. He has to get that down, though. It's not there for him yet.
I think he's going to be fine, man. Shane Wall is a good coordinator, and he took Geno Smith, who's NFL career was on life support, and turned into a good quarterback. So I think you mix it with Caleb Williams with the weapons already have now. I don't see
we'll
it.
See.
I don't see that situation failing unless he has a work ethic of Johnny Manziel. And I mean, I don't know, man. That's the only way I can see it failing with all these weapons around him. He has too much talent, man. He could throw in weird angles. I think his style of quarterback play is something we're going to start seeing more and more because you see that same style just Jordan Love, and it's more like Patrick Mahomes-ish as far as being able to throw off your back foot and throwing on the dime and throwing, you know, sidearms, no lookers, all that shit. That's what Caleb Williams does. And
all against Pac-12 defenses who stink.
I get that. I mean, he did it when he was on Oklahoma. I mean, it's the same thing. All I'm saying is that he has his talent. It's something you can't teach.
We'll see. And I'm not high on him.
I was laughing when he said it was Patrick Mahomes because that just reminded me of Tony Romo saying that, and it made me laugh.
that style, I mean, I'm telling you, you want to see more quarterbacks like this. This style where you could throw off your back foot and still throw it on a dime, throw it across your body. They do shit that's not you're not supposed to do as a quarterback.
It's like the Aaron Rodgers way, basically.
Exactly.
But Patrick Mahomes, so I hate when people say that. Like
he's not Patrick Mahomes.
He's not even a generational prospect. He's not.
I mean, he kind of is. I mean, it's just based off talent, the way he throws the ball, his arm releases, his arm strength, everything like that, I think is just like Jordan Love, man. It's the same shit.
No, that's I disagree. I think Jordan Love's a more mobile quarterback. I mean, whatever. Huh? I'm not
he's more he's more mobile.
Yeah, I think Jordan Love is a more mobile quarterback than Caleb Williams is.
Well, yeah, because he barely ran. But if you want to see him be mobile, watch him in Oklahoma.
I'm just saying in general, I know Caleb is a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, but he does, he's not like Justin Fields. He's not gonna, you know, once a play breaks down, take off. You know,
that's literally running, that's what he does. Is he doesn't take off? He just runs around in circles against tackle defenses and throws a bomb.
What he tries to do, he tries to extend the plays, and that's what those guys do.
That's not going to work in the NFL though, like it worked in college.
What I'm saying is, the way his talent, arm releases, the way he releases the ball, the arm angles.
Zach Wilson had that. How did it turn out for him?
It depends on the situation you're going to. Yeah, obviously he has to change his play style. Obviously, I mean,
he's not running a spread offense. So it's gonna be different.
Yeah, it's a different game in the Pac-12 compared to the NFC North or just the NFL in general. But
he ran a spread.
But you like the talent that he has?
Exactly. I think it's a unique talent. Now, like I said, it's that style. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes, but just like Jordan Love, that's that style we throw off your back foot, and that Aaron Rodgers style. That's the style he plays with. That's the style you can't teach. And I think we'll start seeing more quarterbacks like this. And as these guys keep coming more and more out, I think those are going to be the higher draft picks because they do shit that you just can't teach. Throwing across your body like that, and I don't know, man. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to definitely be interesting. I mean, they added, like you said, they added good pieces around him to be successful. So there's really no excuses for him. Assuming he is going to be the quarterback day one. I mean, he is the quarterback day one. They didn't bring anyone in. So, you know, he is going to be – assuming it's Caleb Williams. It seems like it's a slam dunk. It's going to be Caleb. I'd be stunned if it's any other rookie. But assuming it's Caleb, he's going to get the keys day one. A lot of expectations day one. But you mentioned, yeah, he's coming into a good situation. There's really no excuses from day one for him. And, you know, we'll see how it works. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting.
If it does fail, trust me, I'll be.
I think we'll all be celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a relief because what I don't want is two potential elite quarterbacks in our league. Because I see Jordan Love's he's drawing that trend of being that elite quarterback and being in that top five, top three. Like next year, we could see him trend that way. And if we have two elite quarterbacks in our division, then we look back and now we're like, all right, let's rank our quarterbacks. We're like, all right, Jordan Love. And then we're like, oh, Caleb Williams. And then we're like, all right, we had the third best quarterback.
Yeah.
Nah, not good. Not a good feeling.
We'll see what happens.
Not a good feeling. I don't want that to happen. I mean,
that's obviously wait and see. Because I think right now, if you were to rank him, you still are going to be the best quarterback in the division. It's between him and Love, I think.
You arguably have the second best quarterback in the division behind Matthew Stafford, like in the NFC.
I think, even right now with Stafford's health, you could probably put Goff over Matthew.
You can make a case for Jalen Hurts. I got to see more from him. He had a down year last year. You can make a case for other guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, right now, Goff's in the conversation for the number one quarterback in the NFC. I mean,
yeah,
he could not say much because there isn't great competition.
Brock Purdy actually had a real Brock Purdy's also in that combo.
It's Brock, Dak, Jared.
If I do a guess for next year, I don't see Goff being the best quarterback in our division next year. I just don't see it.
I just think
Jordan Love's gonna take that big of a leap. That's just me. Like I said, he does shit that you're not. He does weird shit.
I mean, he's in a good situation as well. I mean, in a very small, smart play caller with LaFleur there too. So,
and that's not saying Goff's gonna play bad or nothing. I just think that Jordan Love, talent wise, he's a talented quarterback.
Fair. We have to see it. Like, he's talented, but like right now, I think it's still a fair argument either way.
I think he showed it. Like his second half of the season, he showed it where he was going on that streak where he was just busting everybody's ass. He showed it. But I think next year he's going to really show it.
And he has to show it again to like.
Oh, of course, consistency is the key. I mean, you guys know. I don't just throw the elite on anybody's name like that. You know, they got to show me consistency. As far as playing well and playing at a high level. But I just think that he's going to be up like top five, top. I mean, not just NFC. I'm talking about the whole NFL. I can see him making that leap, either in the top 10 or top five. But it's just the way he throws the ball, man. I personally love those type of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
it's fair. I like Love too. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, and I think he is a good quarterback. But I think he'll get better. I agree with that. So, all right, that's a wrap for this episode. Hope you guys all enjoyed our NFC North recap. We will be back next week. What we're going to record, to be determined. We'll figure that out. So it's probably going to be something draft related, or you know, it's obviously going to be something Lions related. So stay tuned for that. Hope you guys all enjoyed. If you could leave a 5-star review, it's always much appreciated. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Like Tyler said, draft talk next week. We'll see you guys. I'm out. Peace.
Yep. It's your boy Malcolm, and I'm out, man. Peace.